You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised.
A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat. And he'll do it just like that.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, hit it!
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Dave's Corner Garage, where men are men, and that's as far as I'm going to go. Today, we have some interesting guests. We have Darren Bossens from Salem Tire, who we all know, and Damon...
White.
I was going to say Whitehead.
Easy.
Damon's from a company called Ironhead, and they actually re-tread tires. I always thought they would have a problem with their tread.
Why?
Tread. It's absolutely amazing in what tires are actually retreaded. I mean, aircraft tires, I didn't realize when we were talking before, were retreaded. Buses, trucks, and he's going to walk us through this. Trevor from Crown is going to be calling in, and you know what happens when Trevor calls in. We usually get a couple of free things. And I want to remind you that we have the biggest, best, most interesting contest come back. It's with davescornergarage.com. Get on the site, enter. Salem Tires is taking you down to Las Vegas.
Yep.
They're going to be putting you on a racetrack where you can drive a Ferrari after taking the class.
And we're going to find out what those alligator-looking things are on the side of the road after this break.
Alligators?
Yeah.
In Canada?
I learned a new word, as a matter of fact. Alligators.
Oh, boy.
I thought the word was thank you. Anyways, we'll be right back after a few messages from our supporting sponsors. Say goodbye, Al.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. Give us a call right now. We'll be back after these messages.
Alrighty, we're back. The garage door is wide open, and we have with us Damon White. And Damon White, it's part of Dynamic Tires, isn't it, Darren?
Yeah, he's part of the Salem group, but the retreading side.
So let's explain first off what retreading a tire is all about.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. Retreading is basically taking a brand new tire after it's worn its original tread life and putting back another tread and putting it back into service at less of a cost than what a price of an original tire would cost.
So these are mostly commercial vehicles that you're working with, like big trucks?
The most cost-effective avenue for retreading would be in the commercial truck tire industry. Of course, it can be applied to light trucks and passenger vehicles, but with the selection of global tires and domestic tires that are available, it's just not as it doesn't generate the same amount of savings of what it would in a commercial application.
What would be the price difference? I mean, the reason you're doing it is actually for cost savings. So what's the difference between pricing of a brand new 18-wheeler tire to one that you've reproduced?
Well, commercial truck tires, of course, come in all different values based on brand and positioning in the marketplace. So you can have your high-end truck tires, which could be anywhere from $600 to $700 down to about $500. And then you can get into the second tier, which might be in that $400 to $500. And then there's an actual tier after that, which might be in that $300. So if you can take a retread and generate at least of a third of a savings and get the same type of performance that you'd expect out of a new tire, it goes beyond just cost savings. It's probably the responsible thing to do for the environment as well.
Well, as someone who takes the highway periodically, I'm sure I'm not the only one out there, and you've probably seen it too. You know, you're driving up the road, and all of a sudden, everybody's swerving to get away from a big chunk of rubber that's sitting right on the main road. Because I didn't have any experience with this until we got to the green room, I assumed that was the tread portion only of a retreaded tire. But in fact, Damon's told me that's not the case. It's quite a complicated or intricate way that you go about doing it, isn't it?
Oh, of course. It is a science. And I urge people, if they don't know anything about retreading, is to contact a local retreader and have a tour of their facility, because you can learn a lot about what can be done and what can be saved and what's the most cost-effective way to take a tire program. But, alluding to your comment there, the gators that you see on the side of the
road.
That I think a lot of people do say, think, or assume that that's a retread or a failed retread. In reality, it isn't. It's a failed tire. And tires, of course, can fail like anything else if it's not properly maintained in its original life. It's overinflated, underinflated. Of course, a tire experiences a lot of forces and obstructions on the road. And what happens at mile one and what happens at mile 100 can be, there's a lot of road in between. So it's not a retread. It's basically can be a combination of new tires, retreads, used tires.
Right, and you were saying, too, that when a tire comes in to get retreaded, it gets inspected rigorously.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at the casing. You want to make sure there's no steel sticking out. You check the date on it. You said you won't retread a tire past a certain age.
Yeah, of course, you have to have regulations around your own process, and individual retread programs or processors out there may have varying degrees of how far they'll push a program. But usually within 10 years, a casing or a radial truck tire has about a 10-year casing life. And that's designed so that you can do about 1 million miles on a commercial truck tire.
Unbelievable, 1 million miles.
You're not going to do that on an original life, though. You need to incorporate retreading.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, a set of tires for an 18-wheeler, it's got to be like $10,000 or $11,000?
Depending on which manufacturing you're supporting. Yeah. But yes, of course.
So you're saving them like $3,000-$4,000 by offering that product.
Yes. And of course, when we take it serious, and we're not just going to walk in and retread every tire that you present.
Yeah, right.
You need to have a program or a set of expectations working in with the fleet on what they expect this tire to do.
How do you market retreaded tires? Like you go to all these trucking companies, or they come to you, or
we of course have an independent tire network out there that we work with, and they're into servicing commercial trucking tire fleets. So of course we work with them, but we present the whole program working with them to fleets and build a program that fits best for them. And all programs are different based on the application of the fleet's needs.
Mm. Okay, I drive a smart car. I look over at the side of the bus, and it says regroovable. What is that?
Regrooving, of course, under the original tread, there's an undertread, and it can be anywhere between 3 to 5/32 seconds of tread. So if you're not going to retread, what you have the ability is to take a regroove and regroove into that undertread and extend the tire's life by maybe 10, 15%. The unfortunate part is you're also going into the belt packages, or you could be damaging the overall casing. So once the tire is regrooved, of course, any debris that comes into contact can actually be digging into the actual radial plies, and then that's when, of course, things start to rust out from the inside out.
So they do it on the buses because they actually don't go that fast. Maybe that's why.
Well, I don't think it's I think you're seeing a lot more busing companies now are retreading. Regrooving is a thing of the past. If a tire is at its end of life cycle, or if I know that the tire can't be retreaded but it still has some integrity to run itself life out, then maybe regroove it. That might be an option. But I would retread.
And I think a lot of the major manufacturers have regroovable on the truck tires, Dave. So it doesn't necessarily mean you will do it. It's just it's got the ability to.
Well, I was still coming from an era when things were groovy.
wrong.
Hey, man, it was groovy.
Hey, man.
All righty. So we know a bit about that. How do we get the – is there anything on the internet? You call it Ironhead? Rubber Technologies, is there a site for this?
Yes, of course. You can go to our website and learn more information about it. It's www.ironheadrt.com.
Okay. So if you want more information, or you're a trucking company or a bus company and you want to reduce your costs, that's the perfect way to start.
And if you're looking to do your share to save the environment, it's a green product as well.
It's the responsible thing to do, gentlemen.
There you go.
I love it. And interesting, you told me before, aircraft do it too.
Oh, no. You know what? If you took retreading out of the commercial tire landscape, there'd be some bankruptcies.
So next time you're on the United, just remember.
Yes, of course.
United, it's a drag.
I told you, get out of that seat.
The tires are the safest component on that plane.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We got to run, guys. We'll be back after these messages.
Alrighty, with the garage doors wide open, and we're just listening to your questions. So if you call in, we'll get you on the next break. Darren, this is the time of the year guys are pulling their boats out, their trailers out. They're getting their...
Going up to the lake, eh?
Yeah.
Going up to the cottage, yep.
Going to go... If I was a fish, I'd leave town.
And, yep, good time to do.
And in terms of preparation, instead of just loading up the trailer, what should you do to it?
Well, definitely you want to take a look at your, you know, the overall unit, you know, check out the, there's probably some rust on it, depending on how you stored it or how old it is. Definitely you want to look at your axles, make sure the wheels are looking good. You got the tires, there's, you know, definitely, as we know, they don't really wear out. So it's not as far as the tread depth isn't that important other than, you know, you don't want to see any cracking in the void. Make sure there's no ozoning, check your pressures. That's definitely important. You know, just the overall makeup of the vehicle.
Question,
and condition.
We've talked about pressures before, and of course, when it comes to the car or the vehicle, the pressure you're using is what the manufacturer of the vehicle calls for.
Correct.
As opposed to the number that's on the side of the tire.
That's just max pressure for the tire.
Exactly. Now, how do you know about it on a trailer? Will there be a sticker on a trailer that tells you how much air to put in?
Typically, no. Typically, more so maybe on a boat trailer.
Uh-huh.
But any other trailers, usually you go by the actual on the sidewall of the tire. Use the
now,
max.
Now, that's the max.
Yeah.
So what would you go? What would be
go to
the prescribed?
Max.
You would, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We call these ST tires, right?
Yeah, special trailer.
Special trailer.
Yeah.
People don't realize that they spin maybe twice as fast as the car tire.
Yeah, you got to look at the overall diameter as you go down the road in your pickup truck with, 35-inch outside diameter, and then you've got this small trailer tire being towed behind it at, 24 inches. It's obviously doing more revolutions per minute.
Now, is there a load limit to a trailer tire?
Like, absolutely.
Some of them, trailers have three sets
axles.
On one side, you have three axles.
Yep.
Others have two, and is it common for them to overload this stuff?
Very common. That's typically the biggest problem, because especially in the motorhome or the trailable motorhomes, they have max weights for carrying, basically the unit itself, and then people start loading up with coolers and beer and everything else, or even in the boat, and it usually exceeds the carrying capacity of the trailer.
Now, you're one of the few companies actually that sells trailer tires.
Yeah.
Most of the manufacturers have left
that. Most majors have left that space for sure, so... And so basically your options, I know one of the majors still supplies ST tires, but other than that, you're into offshore product for that.
So you should actually have a spare.
Absolutely.
Because the side of the road's a great place to meet people.
Yeah, it is. And you want to make sure, ultimately, you want your nuts all torqued as well, because I see them sometimes sitting there with one wheel on one side and nothing on the other.
Right, exactly. Because, and getting back to the revolutions per minute that the wheel is spinning, you've also got bearings. Don't forget, most of the time when guys back in the boat into the water,
you
get water intrusion into the bearings. And if they're not coated in grease properly, they start to rust. And, most people are not proactive, but really you ought to be.
You have to be, and it's on the road. It can cause damage to your vehicle, someone else's vehicle. It's a safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I see quite regularly is, as we know, STs have a speed limit to them, 55. I see guys in the fast lane trailering whatever doing 120, 130, 140 kilometers an hour.
Tire's doing about 200.
Yeah, they should not be doing that. Definitely
they do.
Not. But so they do.
The tires actually overheat when that happens.
Heat buildup. And then you've got a pressure issue. If you're down, a few PSI, you add that speed on top of it, it just exacerbates the heat buildup.
More alligators on the side of the road.
More alligators, exactly.
But they're baby alligators.
They're baby alligators. They don't hurt you as bad.
So where do you pick up trailer tires? Who's selling them like your dealers are?
Most dealers are, yeah. Yeah. You'll find any of the passenger facilities as well as commercial will sell ST tires.
See, nobody's got that in their head, It's even like snowmobiles, they've got the snowmobile trailers have got that stuff.
Yep.
That's a big market.
Oh, yeah,
I
got a question. Let's say, for example, a trailer has 14 or 15-inch wheels on it.
Correct.
Do you have to go with a trailer tire, or can you put a car tire on?
People do to get themselves out of bind sometimes, and there's different trains of thought, but typically you want to stick with an ST because they're built differently. They're for that application.
And now, are they bias or are they radial?
Radial.
They are radial as well. Okay.
Yeah. They're not biased. They'll go with any trailer.
You don't find much bias. Bias is, you'll find bias in off-road, like OTR, like agricultural tires still. But even that, that's waning. It's some of the older equipment still.
This is a crazy question, but how many different applications are there for tires? I mean, car tires, truck tires, off-road.
Bike tires, you know, wheelbarrow tires, like the list goes on. And I just think of everything that has a pneumatic or a rubber tire on it.
So do you actually involved in all this stuff? Is
basically everything other than motorcycle and bicycle.
Yeah.
We do, you know, industrial, commercial, forklift, solids, pneumatics, retreading, as we found out today.
I've been to their warehouse. It's got its own postal code.
No fucking way. Really.
We've had it on since you've been there.
You know, and I have to tell you, it smells forklift great trucks. When you walk in there.
Lovely.
Fresh rubber's got a great smell.
You know what? It's funny. You and I like that, but I get customers coming in going, what's that smell?
I think what we do is we add that new car smell to them, so it's a little bit different.
I got to tell you a quick story before we leave. We were in the waiting room waiting for my daughter to have a baby, and all these guys are sitting around, we're chatting, and we're talking about condos, and they were going to move into a condo. He says, you know, his wife says, I don't want to live in a condo because you smell everybody else's cooking, and it's really not what I want. And he goes, Jesus, I wouldn't mind smelling some cooking for a while.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. If you got a mechanical question, a question about tires, anything at all, we've got about 40, 50, 60, 70 years of experience right here for you. Give us a call right now. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, we're back. Just before we go to the phones, I wanted to tell you that Hyundai...
Yes?
Actually, it's actually Hyundai, is recalling 572 vehicles all over the U.S. and Canada.
That's all?
For engine failures.
Yes.
For models of Sonata, Santa Fe, and sports models.
What happens?
Kia is recalling an estimated 600,000 vehicles.
Now, what's been happening?
Apparently, there was dirt inside the engines when they were assembling them, and they could fail.
Ooh.
Okay, they don't call it dirt. It's metal debris.
Oh, it's metal debris?
Yeah.
I thought it was sand from the casting.
So when you hear that... and it stops on you. You got a problem, but they're going to help you. Anyways, let's go to the phones. We've got a question about camper trailers.
We got Blair in Toronto giving us a shout. Blair, what can we do for you?
Yes, good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
I've been listening to the show for a while now, and I have a Class C Toyota camper. It's an old vintage one, but I have a little bit of a problem locating tires in the size 14 class. And they're 185s, and they're usually a 6-ply that take 50 pound, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right, Blair. But we do sell 14 inch, depending on what the what your aspect ratio is on that tire. But you could ultimately have you actually brought it into any of the dealers? Because you could maybe change the size or change the ply rating. Going up ply rating is not going to cause you any trouble. Have you tried that yet?
No, changing the size, I would have to change the rim, wouldn't I?
If you stay with a 14-inch, just to, like I said, I don't know the full size, but they do have 14-inch trailer tires. It's definitely a smaller portion of the market because everything seems moved up to 15 and 16-inch now, or 17 even.
So I could go for a trailer tire?
Yes. Yeah, like an ST, like an ST trailer tire, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, ask him, Blair, where do I get them?
Well, I believe from Saline.
Saline makes them, so you can go to the website and check out the dealer locator there, depending on where you're located.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome,
and
Blair.
Would they be rated, too, also, like, for the high PSI?
Yep, they'll hold the weight of your trailer for sure.
It's an RV. It's not a trailer.
Or an RV, sorry. Yeah,
it's a Class C.
Yep. If you just got to make sure that you get the 6-ply. It can't be that heavy just based on the fact you've got 6-ply because they go up to 8, 12,
Toyota,
you know, 14-ply.
It's just average, right?
Yep.
But it holds its own. It's got the little 4-cylinder in it, and I love it.
No, sounds good.
How long have you had this truck?
It's an 86 with the R23 or R42 engine, I believe.
All right,
An 86 with 96,000 miles on it.
Unbelievable. I saw one of those. They made a kitchen out of it, and they were serving hot dogs out of it.
A food truck.
Well, you could do anything you want with it if you want to gut it. But me, I'm spending my time in the mountains on the rivers.
Very nice.
Well, you want to be checking your brakes and everything else, too, while you're
absolutely
at it, eh?
Most definitely. As soon as the tires come off and the new ones go on, everything will be done.
What about finding spare parts for that? Is it possible, or do you have a problem?
I've got a list of numbers for parts here from a Japanese dealer in Toronto, as well as when I go into the Catskill stateside, they're there.
Oh, cool.
And your wife is good with that?
Well, I'm single right now. But,
I'll hand out your number if we get calls.
Thank you. And thank you for the great advice, gentlemen. And okay. Have a great Easter weekend. Now.
Thanks, Blair. You too.
Thank you. There are no women here.
So he's always correct, eh?
That's right.
Well, he's going to get spoiled.
Guy. He's not wrong.
He's going to get spoiled.
We went to Washington, Detroit for the... the car show they have down there on Woodward Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So we come back and the Border Patrol says, "What'd you buy?" I says, "You see any women in the car?" He says, "Have a nice day." There are no women here. Just an interesting side effect. Nitrogen is in these tires, right? You pump them up with nitrogen?
Typically. Well, from OE typically, or some people use nitrogen. It's not imperative to use it, but...
OE comes with nitrogen.
You see more and more, especially the high-performance vehicles, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was done at the dealer. You mean the manufacturer's putting in the nitrogen now?
Typically on higher-end cars or more performance-oriented. Like, my new car's got nitrogen in it from manufacturer.
So we were looking at buying cars in Florida. We talked about this last week. One of the charges on buying a new car was nitrogen fee. They were charging $899 U.S. nitrogen fee.
Come on.
And the idea was that you would never have to go anywhere else but to the dealer, and it's free once you paid your $900.
Are you?
Wow. That's
$900?
Called the Wahoo fee.
Wahoo.
Because you're getting it right up the Wahoo, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like that's their margin.
They also had a thing called, basically, whenever you bought a car down there, they added $3,000 of accessories.
Mm.
One of them was the electronic filing fee. What this means is they could actually license your car from the dealership. Its value is like under $100.
Okay.
They were charging $1,300 for it.
Oh, my God.
So if you're buying a car in the U.S., watch out for what comes out of the F&I office, because it's F&I.
It's other sources of income for them.
It's fascinating stuff. So tire business is just like any other business.
Pretty much.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break. If you want more information on tires, salentire.ca, I think it is. We'll get you there. And make sure you go to our website, davescornergarage.com. Enter the contest. Salen is supporting us and sending you down to Las Vegas.
Wow.
For 3 weeks, 3 days. Sorry, 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Easy.
You come back dead.
I'm signing up.
So three nights in the hotel. You get to go on the racetrack after they teach you a classroom, and you get to run a Ferrari around the track.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get back, Darren's going to give you four tires for your car or light truck.
Yep.
Crown is going to give you
a
spritz, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to go out for dinner with Alan and myself after we do the show, and you can come down and join us.
Who's buying?
Steve.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage.
That's
give
Sebastian.
Us a call.
Sebastian put his hands up. He wants to buy.
Daniels, McDonald's for everybody. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, we're back. I just want to mention Thornhill Cruisers. They're having their first day May the 22nd at the Canadian Tire Store at Major Mac and Highway 404.
Exactly. So if you've got a classic car or you want to see some classic cars, bunch of great old guys, classic guys, with old cars. And
why is old written in caps and bold?
Because really they're old.
Because they're not wearing their glasses. You see, you have to have bigger writing.
Bold.
So, yeah, if you want to see some great old cars. And if you're thinking about getting into the hobby, it's really good that before you buy a car, you go and talk to these guys. They're all quite friendly and accepting.
Well, and we have the auction coming up pretty soon. Steve's shaking his head. In 2 weeks, the auction's coming up. So if you want to get into the hobby or you want to get a project for the summer, you go and visit the guys up at the airport, and you know, we'll be giving away tickets, I think, for that too.
But you want to make sure the project is just one summer, not like 10 summers, and we're not finished the car
exactly.
yet.
Exactly, still going.
I've seen that. You know, I've seen cars like the guy's worked on for 10 years.
Yeah,
and he was working away and get it done. So it's interesting stuff. We're going to talk about what do you want to talk about next? We have a call coming. We're just waiting for it to go up. You want to hit it?
All right,
here we go. Talking to Tina.
Yes, it is.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Good
How
question.
Are you, guys?
You know what? Great. Terrible. I could have slept in.
So you got an 02 Ford Escape. What's the problem? What's it doing?
Well, I got a 2006 Jeep Commander.
Okay.
And it's a 5.7 engine. It's a lovely car. I love it. But yesterday we were driving it, and all of a sudden we felt a bit of a, for about 2 seconds, a bit of a rough ride. And then the ESP light came on, the ABS, the little gadget with the car and the skid marks underneath. Mm-hmm. The whole thing kind of lit up, and it stayed on for a while, then went off and stayed on. So basically it stayed on for the rest of the time. And then on our dash, it said four-wheel drive service. So I'm just wondering, what are we looking at? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, skid marks. I always get skid marks when I see those lights, eh?
Not going there.
Because you know they're touching your wallet.
Are the lights still on?
Yeah.
They're still on. Okay.
Like, I turn the ignition on now, and the lights don't go off.
Okay. What will happen will be a computer will be hooked up to the vehicle, and the computer in the car will start spitting out the codes. So in other words, the computer in the car recognizes there's a failure somewhere, and it spits out these codes, and then the service guy will find out where to start his repair.
Have you driven the car today?
No.
Okay. You want to just?
I haven't driven. No, we came home, and then it said that, you know, I looked at my book, and it says, well, you know, go to your dealer immediately. But it is the weekend, and so you know what it is.
Right.
So I thought, well, we always listen to you guys, so I thought, hey, you know, let's give you a call.
It should be safe to drive.
I would think in the short term, but what I'd probably
see something about driving it over 30 kilometers for an extended time or something. Not a good idea. I don't know.
No, exactly. If you got to run down to the store to buy a jug of milk, I'd go do that. But I wouldn't take it up to the cottage before you have it looked at. But if it's just the four-way that they're talking about, the 4x4, it may in fact be a transmission or transfer case issue. You know, your Jeep is all-wheel drive. So if the light is still on, probably what I do is I'd run down to the closest tranny guy if you have one.
Yeah.
I know Mr. Transmission, they'll do a road test and they'll scan it for you at no charge. So you want to.
Okay.
All righty. That'd be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is that the back, the rear brake light on the passenger side is out too, I just noticed. Would that be all connected with that or not?
Can be. It can be. I've heard of that.
Yeah, you get some crazy situations like that. But you know what? Get the bulb, do it yourself, and then if the light goes out, you're a winner.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Okay, well, thanks, guys.
You're very welcome.
Have a good weekend and a happy Easter.
Thanks. Thank you. Best to you, too.
All righty. Car tires on a trailer. We were talking about that. Bernie's on the phone.
Bernie in Brantford. What can we do for you, Bernie?
Yes. You can put car tires on trailers, but is that against the law or is that okay?
No, it's not against any law that I'm aware of, but it's not a good idea. A car tire is made, you know, designed and made and engineered for a car, where an ST tire is for a trailer. What type of trailer is it? Like a utility trailer? Or
it's a utility trailer, yeah.
Yeah. I know some people do it. If you're not going too far and you're not, you know, going on the highway, it's you're probably not going to run into any issues.
What would the issues be?
Well, like I said, they're just engineered for, different tires. If one tire fit all applications, we'd have one tire to choose from, right? Mm. So they're engineered and designed for specific
So is this a homemade trailer, or is this a commercial trailer?
It's a homemade utility.
Yeah, trailer. Like I said, if you're just going to the landscape place around the corner and picking up some stuff, you're going to have no problems. But if you're trailing that up north to the cottage, I would suggest not doing that.
Okay, does that, the axle or something? Does it damage the axle?
No, it won't damage the axle. It just comes down. You know, I was always taught, and most people understand, that you use the right tools for the right job. You're by putting a passenger tire on a trailer, you're using the wrong tool for the wrong piece of equipment.
All right, Bernie, we got to run.
Thank you.
Bernie,
I thought you could use a BFH for anything.
That's what I thought.
Really?
Or Bertha.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back after these messages.
Well, we're back. And when I made a call this morning to Trevor from Crown, mm-hmm. he was in the driveway washing his wife's car and desalting. Can you imagine?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So he could have just taken it to Crown and got it done. Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I am doing really well today.
So how did you desalt your own car?
Well, my wife has been on me for a little while saying, you know, you're on the radio talking about this for other people. Why don't you put your talk into actions? And so that's what I'm doing this morning.
It sounds like that was an insult.
You know, I think it was that one. I don't know if I'm smart enough to pick up on that.
Now, so, why is desalting a vehicle necessary?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, sometimes in the winter, you know, we're just so used to all the mess that's in the vehicle. But you know what happens with the salt? And you know, it reinforced it to myself again just this morning as I pull the winter mats out and I get down and there's salt all along, right along the seams of the vehicle. And you know what happens is as soon as the moisture starts getting to that, it activates the salt. And so, like, for instance, we have a key lock for our trunk down there. Well, that's all now corroded. Mm-hmm. Right. You've got other mechanisms that are in there besides just, you know, ruining the carpet if you don't address it.
Right.
It's really important. And so that's just on the inside. Well, so I decided I needed a little more help for my vehicle. So I actually brought it up to our office and put the vehicle up on a hoist. And, you know, I get my vehicle sprayed every year. But even underneath, you know, you'll start seeing on brake lines, on the brake drums, the rotors. The salt's just, you know, started to rust it. So you have rust jacking all over that. So it's very invasive.
Now, if people want to get rid of the rust, the salt in their salt stains from their seats and their boots and whatnot, you guys have an over-the-counter product too, right?
That's right. So we have the salt eliminator in aerosol form. And the advantage of that is that the aerosol helps to, there's a foamer activator in there because the product's activated by it foaming, and you add a little bit of water to it.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, that the carpet was particularly bad, so I sprayed it on, added a little bit of water, left it for a couple minutes, agitated it, and then just mopped it up with a damp cloth. In one of the areas on the driver's side, I had to do it twice, but it came out really well.
I just want to warn you, don't do too good a job because you'll impress the wife, and she'll have you doing way more than just the car.
I was going to say, Alan, if I impressed her by cleaning your car, I'm really doing something.
All righty. We're giving away movie tickets every time you come into a Crown store.
That's right. So for the month of April, we have a promotion on you. Come in and get your car crowned at the regular retail price. You're going to receive two movie tickets. So it's about a $26 value. Mm-hmm. And there's a coupon on the website. You can go on and either download or print off and bring into your local Crown Center.
So the question is, you were giving away floor mats, which is now going to be every year. So movie tickets are good for any show right now, right? Not specifically any show.
That's right. So you can go out. Like, we used to do it because we have a partnership with Disney, and so we used to give it away to the movies that they were bringing out. And then we realized that, you know, a lot of our customers would like a little bit more choice to go to perhaps a different type of movie, and this seems to be a really good promotion. The customers really seem to respond well to it.
Yeah, I bet you. What do the movies cost? $20 a piece or something?
It depends, with or without popcorn.
Oh, that's $50 a piece.
Oh, yeah.
I made the mistake of taking the grandkids.
You got a mortgage.
$100 later.
But you only have one grandkid.
No, eight.
Then it wasn't $100.
No, they wanted this can of juice with a Spider-Man on it.
Yeah.
That was like $9.
Oh, God.
It's unbelievable. Anyways, sorry?
Buy him a beer.
Cheaper.
Cheaper. Trevor?
Yes.
Are we still there? Okay.
We are still there.
Now, you guys are really, really busy this time of year. It's amazing because this is the time of year cars rust most of it, most aggressively.
Exactly.
Yeah. You see people now getting ready. They're, switching their tires over. They're getting their spring maintenance done. And then once you're finished that, come in and get your car crowned, and then your vehicle's really ready for spring.
Okay. So how do we get in touch with Crown?
Crown with a K.com.
I actually saw a restaurant, and they called it Crown with a K.
Oh, really?
I would go after those guys.
I may go after them for a meal.
You could trade them for some movie tickets. There you go.
Sounds good to me.
Great. Trevor Hutchison is a regular with us from Crown, and Crown's been with us almost since we started.
And they're sponsoring us in Las Vegas, too.
Yes, Crown, when you come back from your trip and you got your tires, you're going to get sprayed at Crown. But bring your car.
Yes.
Okay, all right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back with your calls right after this break.
Okay, we got Diane on the phone, but just before we go, I just want to remind you to go to Dave's Corner Garage, enter the contest. And Bob's your uncle right after that.
There you go.
Actually, Bob's my brother, who's no longer the president of the TADA. He's finished his...
He got fired?
His services. No, now he's the president of the auto show.
Oh.
So when we go next year, we have to deal with Bob.
Well, that's easy enough to do.
I got the inside track there. Diane, how are you?
Diana in Etobicoke. Problem with your key. What's going on?
I had, you know, the fob that works with your cars?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, it died.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 to get it replaced.
Hang on. Did you try a battery first?
Oh, yeah, they did that. They tried that. Oh,
okay.
No, the dealership was really good. They just said, no, we've tried it. It's not the battery. They've been really good to me, so I trust what they said. And he just said, you're not going to pay $350 for a new fob, so just use the key.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
If I want to get an alternate key, like an extra key, I only have one, will it work with the fob not working?
Is the fob part of the key, or is it a separate unit altogether?
No, separate unit altogether.
Then it should work.
Okay, because when the fob system was working, I went to get another key made, and they said no, it'll wreck up your system if you try to use a key that isn't synchronized with the fob.
Right.
But so if the fob's not working, it's no problem with.
What kind of car is this?
Toyota Sienna.
Well, what I'd suggest is when you go to the locksmith, and go to a locksmith rather than just your local hardware store,
yeah,
and show them what you've got, because they can tell if the key is a chipped one or not. And if it is a chipped key, as they're telling you, yeah, if you cut a regular key, it's not going to work.
You know, I was at the tire store, mm-hmm. and I have
the American one?
And they had a machine. I have a Ford Freestar, which we use as a shop truck. Mm-hmm. And they need an extra key, and they cut it for me. It was $50.
Oh.
So they have the ability to code the key. So I just handed them my original key, and they made me one. It doesn't look the same, but it works perfect. So, and,
like, Diana, what you can do is there are websites out there where you can bring in, and they look exactly the same as the factory ones, but they're half the price. So check it out. I mean, you can check with a local locksmith and say, you know what, I'd like to get a key fob, because you don't have to pay dealer prices for that stuff.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I just want to make sure I don't screw up my car because love my little darling.
Yeah. No, but like I say,
I'll just let your husband fix it, okay?
Oh, do they have rent-a-husbands out now?
They do, actually.
Actually, they do. My wife uses that service.
No, it's rent-a-son, I think.
He cleans out the gutters and everything. You know?
Oh, wow, really?
It's very economical.
It's a great thing. Anyway.
And they have a very creative payment plan, too.
No, I have my limits. You know,
by the
hour. I won't go high on that. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great weekend.
Bye-bye. Alrighty. So first off, I want to thank Damon for enlightening us on retreaded tires. I never knew all that stuff happened.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a difference between retread, regroove, and retail.
And ST tires.
And then, yep. What did you tell me?
Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Yeah, right.
As a matter of fact, Dave, you were telling. Remember, you know, you were saying your dad started in the used car business years ago.
Yes.
And you were the guy that used to make tires new. Could you tell everybody how you did that?
They had a guy come by. They had a guy come by with a hot iron, looked like a welding iron, but it had a U in it.
Yeah.
And they would cut the groove right there.
That was regroovable.
And if they hit the cord, they just painted black.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, wasn't it just a can of black paint that you did the side of the tire
with?
Well,
we did, yeah. We used to paint the tires and the mats and everything else, mm-hmm. right? The trouble is, when the guy did the tires, he'd loosen the radio and swipe it. Right? Right? And there was also the speedometer man. We had a speedometer man.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, before they had this legislation and mileage, so they used to spin them all the time. You know, if they came in with 100,000 miles, they'd spin them back, right? How many miles you want?
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what? And it's the same thing now, which is important, why you should get your car checked out before you buy a used car, because it's actually easier now to spin back an odometer than it was in the
old
days.
Is it really?
Absolutely.
Computer,
it's just electronic.
Right?
Yeah, just here we go. Back to it. Go on the internet. You too can buy this device.
Well, what we don't tell people is that every time, say, for example, you have an insurance estimate,
mm-hmm.
that as soon as they write up that estimate, that information goes into a system and it's recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you may not have made a claim,
yes.
There's an estimate made up for this car for so much thing. You've got to be really careful where your information is going, because if you want to do something like that, turn the mileage back, you're going to get caught.
Well, you know what, a lot of people want to do it. I mean, just on a retail level, is that, you know, you've leased the car and there's a mileage cap.
They're the worst. The guy's leasing cars.
Because they put twice as much miles on as they were supposed to?
Yeah. They are the worst, yeah.
You must have bought,
bought
one.
No, I wouldn't know anything about it, but disconnecting the speedometer has not been unheard of.
The dealer told me once how to do it. It was a fuse.
That's exactly right.
It also disabled the overdrive, so it was not good on the highway and the windows.
See, but nowadays, if you buy a car, you go to CarProof or Carfax. And by the way, I did try CarCost Canada. All right, I did it. I went on the site and I did try it, and it actually works. This is a site where you can actually get a price and get all the discounts that come with that vehicle. Because I'm looking to buy a Mustang convertible, and they got me a price like $32,000 for a car that sells for $35,000.
Cool,
nice.
Yeah, really, really, really works. And they give you the name of the guy to where you're going to go and purchase it from.
Is that a free? Was that the basic membership, or did you have to pay for that one?
No, the first one was free. Wow. It was carcostcanada.ca. So nice. It worked pretty good. That was from Jim's company.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out pretty good. All right, we're tired of stretching. Let's talk about thanking Darren.
Finally. I thought you forgot about it.
And ST Tires. ST Tires available at your supply dealers. And we have a list on our website, by the way, Dave's Corner Garage.
Yep.
Go to our website, Punch and Salem, and you'll see there's a list of all the people that carry their tires and their brand. So, and they'll put them on for you at the same time, right?
Exactly. And don't forget, when you're looking at the tires, make sure that if you haven't serviced that trailer in a bunch of years, best thing to take it into your garage or do it yourself, but pull the axles. Pull the wheels off, check the bearings, check the lights, and lights you get pulled over pretty quick if the lights aren't working.
And I forgot to tell him that Salem Tires have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you don't like them, they'll take them off.
Trial.
Yeah, 30-day trial. It's just unbelievable. Nobody will do that for you.
No, very seldom.
And you have Road Hazard. Road Hazard. Fantastic company. I love those guys.
They have
nice hats, too. So,
and we love you, too, Dave.
All righty. Okay. So, Dave, thank you, Sebastian, for doing all the work. Alan, again, thank you. How do you get a hold of you?
416-665-6230.
There's Fast and Honest. Make sure you ask for Fast.
No, I'm honest.
Always.
You changed? And this has been Dave's Corner Garage. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you back here next week. And then the week after that, I'm going to Florida.
Keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down. Drive safe, everyone.
And we'll see you in the flip-flop. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Who cares about the clouds and we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again. Happy trails.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.